Alright guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show.
Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Are you trying to learn how to play the guitar and have difficulty learning? Well, you need to look no further. Check out my YouTube channel called The Rockin' With Mark YouTube channel. That's Mark with a C. And on there, I have a bunch of lessons on how to play guitar. And you can all learn it for free. Check it out today. Again, my YouTube channel is called The Rockin' With Mark YouTube channel.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Mark the Shark Show. This is another recording, which will also be featured on my YouTube channel for my Rocking with Mark YouTube channel, which focuses more on music and so forth. And today we got a special guest, Jason Stallworth. He has a very popular YouTube channel that I follow. I find this channel very interesting. How you doing today, Jason?
Good, man. Good, Mark. Thanks for having me on, by the way. And thanks for being a subscriber, man. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your patience. Everybody doesn't know, I had a little technical difficulty. I wanted to use my other laptop that had a better background than what I have here, but the laptop's shot, so I had to switch over. So I appreciate your patience, Jason.
And where is this part of it, man?
Yeah. So I got a couple of questions for you. I just got to put my glasses on. I'm getting old, so I can't really see that well anymore.
I can't read the back of bottles. I was trying to read something today, and yes, close up, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm 48, by the way. So it's just like, what's going on? What's happening? And my wife notices I'm having to pull stuff away to read it. So
yeah, that was about the age my eyes started went with. So I have to wear prescription reading glasses.
Gotcha. I'm probably there, and I just need to make the move. So. Yeah.
Try to hold that as long as possible. Anyway, so I know you got this guitar channel and you talk about, you have courses to help people write their own music, and you have several courses like the riff course, and you're always putting out unique, I think very unique content. Most people they'll do guitar lessons or they'll do gear review. Yours is more focused on helping people write their own riffs and compose their own music, which is, I guess, kind of why I find it interesting. So when you began your journey as a musician, when did you start playing, and what got you into guitar in general?
So I picked up my first guitar back in 1989, towards the end of the year. But what led me to that point, if I go back many years before that, I was always into music. I was recording songs off the radio, more like pop stuff, like Tiffany and Madonna, but Phil Collins, Genesis, a lot of rock and roll too, but I would, back in those days, you put the tape in and you press record and play at the same time. But it was towards the end of 1989. When I heard Metallica for the first time, and I went out immediately and bought the cassettes, the Injustice for All and Master of Puppets. And mm-hmm. I was just hooked. I'm like, whoa, because there was just, I'd never heard anything like that before. So I'm like, I don't just want to listen to this stuff. I want to do it. So that was kind of the short version of how I got started.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually just saw them Friday.
No way, man.
Yeah, I lucked out. My brother-in-law, he works for a company that actually has box seats over at the MetLife Stadium in here in Jersey. Wow. So I actually got to sit in a suite. I didn't have to go out, get my own food. The beer was there. The food was there. And I
that
had
is crazy, man.
Row seats of the, you overlook down on them.
Yeah.
And each screen they had four sides. So wherever you were, you can see them. It was a great show, man. They had Pantera there. They were there.
Oh man,
Wolfgang! I missed Wolfgang but there was so much traffic by the time I got there. I got there just a little bit before Pantera went on.
Nice, nice.
So that was kind of interesting. Now, did you just follow Metallica and you said, oh, that's, you know, that's how you got into the guitar, but were there any, did you like follow the guitarist, or were you just more into the bands, or do you have like a particular favorite guitarist that you say, you know, you look at for inspiration, or is it more like a particular group?
You know, hands down, it's Joe Satriani for guitar. So I picked up an acoustic. My uncle had this acoustic. I come from a musical background, family of, you know, just kind of like hobbyist musicians, I guess you could say. But he let me play the acoustic. He taught me how to string it up, got me a chord book. And about a month later, my parents, they saw that this was something I was really interested in. This wasn't just like, you know, just a hobby for me. Or maybe they saw it as a hobby at the time. They knew that, okay, well, he's actually excelling in this and he loves it. He's, you know, he's playing all the time and getting better. So they bought me my first electric guitar. My dad connected with a local musician, a guy named Ronnie Miller in Pensacola, Florida, which is my hometown. And Ronnie still plays. I think he still plays out still today. But he went to the store with us, helped us pick out the electric guitar. Of course, I had a choice between this old beat up looking guitar, because my dad, you know, he had a budget, right? So this I don't know what it was. I think it was an Ibanez. I can't remember, but I know he was saying it was a better, but of course I wanted the bright red one, the new one. It was called a Gremlin. So like, probably not the best choice, but hey. But when we got back to his house, though, after I bought the guitar, after my dad bought it for me, we got back to Ronnie's house, and he's like, man, I want you to hear something. He pops in Flying in the Blue Dream, and dude, just I love melodies. I love melodic pieces. So hearing those keys come in, and then hearing him come in on top of everything with the guitar later, he let it build, you know. And I just love his sense of melody. So I could talk about Joe for days, but that's my guitar, you know, my guitar hero, I guess you could say.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Like for me, it's like George Lynch. Mm-hmm. He's the guy. I'm actually going to see him in next month. He's doing a show at a bar near me.
So I'd love to see that.
Yeah. So I'm last year with Dokken, where he comes out. I don't know if you know that it was supposed to be Lynch Mob and Dokken, but I guess something happened with the other members from Lynch Mob. So he just came out and just did the last three or four songs with Dokken.
Okay.
Cool. I was really hoping that it would be Lynch Mob and Dokken so I could see him and his whole show. So, but the one in September is supposed to be a whole show. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's pretty cool. And then, so, all right. So you know, playing guitar, you got really into it. So what made you decide to start a YouTube channel?
I started the YouTube channel in 2010. So, you know, of course I played in bands growing up throughout my life and all that. And, I always wanted to be a full-time musician, but and I tell people this, I don't think it's a matter of luck. I mean, there is the time and chance aspect of things, but I also was not making decisions that supported that dream. And I tell, this is kind of what I talk about on YouTube quite often, you know, when I talk about writing your own riffs and doing your own thing and being your own guitar player, not really chasing someone else's sound or whatever, you know, as you're developing, it starts becoming such a huge part of you, right? You're making those decisions to move forward in a different way with it. But all that said, you know, there's a lot of history there going back as to why I never really broke through. But in 2010, well, it's about 2 years after I met my current wife. We just moved into an apartment together, I think in 2009. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to take this thing serious. I'm going to get really deep into music, because I kind of took a little break from it for a little while. I still play, but I wasn't really like playing out anywhere. I'm like, I want to do something. I want to record an album. So around that time, of course, all these plugins were out there. Some of you probably remember Lepo, I think LEPOU, something like the Legion amp sim. It was like one of the first amp sims, and dude gave it away for free.
But
all the plugins were kind of, you know, starting to be a thing. And, you know, I got some Line 6 products and all that. And I had a home studio in our small apartment. I made the living room into like a little home studio and just started shooting videos, man. Actually, my first video was me. I just sat on the couch. Of course, no editing. You can see me get up and turn the camera on and turn it off.
Sometimes I do that. I have like a little remote sometimes.
No editing whatsoever. But my very first YouTube video is still out there. I I just wrote it, and this is not metal at all. I wrote an acoustic song because I play acoustic probably as much as I do electric. And that's my first video. I just wanted to play a song and capture it on camera, one take. I'm like, okay, well, we're on YouTube now. But then I started doing some riffs and started getting into, kind of sharing tones and that sort of thing. And I've never really, I do have some gear demos on the channel. And I film at a local guitar store here, Replay Guitar Exchange in Tampa.
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah, and that's a lot of fun. So I get to demo some gear, but I don't really care to do like full blown reviews. I like to demo the gear. Do I like it or do I not or whatever, and that sort of thing. And the gear that I do use, I don't really give a full demo of it. I just share how I use it. So if that makes sense. But yeah, like you said before, it's more just encouraging people. Hey, I've got a riff for you to learn, but let's branch out from what I just did. You know, you might come up with something a lot better than what I came up with, you know, as you start to develop your own style and sound and all that. So
that's pretty cool. And then I know, because I follow you on YouTube, that you've released a few albums yourself.
I have, yes.
Now, did that come after you started your YouTube channel or at the same time? Or
that was all after one? I started the channel in 2010. I didn't release my first album, Apocalyptic Dreams, until 2013. During the process of starting YouTube, like even before I posted my first YouTube video, I'd already had all these riffs because it was my first time in this whole digital studio thing, what we call the DAW. You remember back in the day we had these things. I had the first generation, I think it was a Fostex DMT-8 or something like that. This is back in the early mid 90s or whatever. And I had recorded a couple projects here and there for some other people, you know, just in older studios. But it was my first time jumping into this whole, you know, digital age here, which is really fascinating, all the stuff you can do. But I had already started writing the album, and then I decided to really make something of it and release it in 2013. And I'm working on album number 5 now. So that's hoping that's going to be out within the next month or two.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Cause I was listening to some of it. I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty, pretty good. You know what I mean? Cause I think when I first saw YouTube, I'm like, I don't know, somehow your channel showed up on my feed. I'm like, damn, that guy's pretty big. And then it was like this other guy that was like big, like you. And I'm like, holy shit, these guys are huge.
Oh, Kevin Broussard. You're probably talking about Kevin Broussard, man.
Yeah. And I don't know what. And then like just recently, I'm like just starting to follow you more and more. And I'm like, oh shit, he's pretty good. He's got some pretty good chops there. And then I was watching your lessons, and then I'm like, oh, I went to your website, and then that's where I started listening to some of your music. I'm like, oh wow, he's pretty interesting. Now, how long does it usually take you to make an album? Like, did you find it? Does it take? Was the first one this some songs that you wrote like here and there over the years, and then you compiled it, and then the next ones were just like instantaneously? Like, how long does it usually take you, like on average?
Mark, for a little bit here, man.
Oh, did you hear my question or? Hello? Hold on a second here. What else? Let me plug this in. Can you hear me? I don't know if that's your end.
It's freezing up though.
Yeah,
I hear you just fine now. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So my question was, like, how long does it take you to come up and, you know, finish the album? Was like the first album like a series of songs that you've written previously and you decided to lump it all together in an album? Or like, how long does it usually take for you to finish an album from start to finish?
So that first one took, you know, I didn't really start working on the album. I was just writing riffs and writing just some instrumentals. And I didn't really have the vision for the album at first when I first started working on it. So that, I want to say I started writing everything compiled together. And then, you know, I don't know why that took so long to release. Dude, the album I'm working on right now, that's been in the making for over 2 years. I've had the drums, Cameron Fleury. I hired him. He's out of Canada. He's on YouTube as well for metal drumming. phenomenal drummer. He did the drums for my last album, Masterpiece. But this album I actually put on hold. I got him to do the drums, and I had a lot of the stuff down already, but I put it on hold to start Metal Mastermind with my friend and business partner, Ken Candela. So, and that was a good decision because I had recently left my job. I've been out of the corporate world now for 3.5 years. So I'm still hanging in there. And it's honestly, dude, I'm glad you asked this question because it's almost frustrating to me right now how long this has taken me to get back into it. And I'm almost done. I've got one more song to record the lead guitar tracks to. I have actually changed a lot of the arrangements to the songs, because what I wrote 2 years ago, it's like, I don't like the way this sounds. I'm going to do something different and just make sure it fits. And I'd recorded the whole thing on a 7-string guitar too. I'll tell this story probably on a future YouTube video once it's released, but I went back and re-recorded everything with a 6-string because I was having some internal struggles with 7 and 6 and all that, but anyway, so I've got the vocal tracks coming up. I'm going to another friend's studio to do that. I find it's not so feasible to try to record vocals and do the engineering and all that stuff, working in the DAW and all that stuff while you're trying to record vocal tracks. Just doesn't really work out too well. So all that said, in theory, like the next time I release an album, I anticipate it taking really just a few months, because you write riffs over the years, and then sometimes you'll go back and use that on something else. And that's kind of been my process. But, Mark, to be honest, I really haven't had a process. I mean, if I were to schedule this out, it's like, okay, in these next 2 months, I am going to write 12 songs or 10 songs or whatever, and we're going to do that, and then schedule everything else that happens after that and just stick to that schedule. It's just like going to a job, just like working. But I haven't gotten to that level of cranking out an album yet. All my albums have taken is it's been kind of like a collaborations of riffs and other ideas and lyrics and stuff that just kind of build up over like a 2 or 3 or 4 year period. And I'm like, okay, I think we got an album now. Let's put all this together. So,
yeah. Now, how do you get your ideas for your songs? Is it this comes to you, or like what's your songwriting process like?
Dude, I honestly don't have one. I really don't. I wish I could say I did. I just crank out riffs. I mean, if you listen to, I say 99% of the stuff I have out there on YouTube is stuff I wrote for that video that day.
Wow.
And I'll put the backing tracks to it and everything. And a lot of times I delete all of that. Because it's out there on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, well, I put this out there, so I'm probably not going to use it in a song because it's, it's kind of out there. Sometimes I do, though. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I really like this one, so maybe I'll make changes to it later or keep it, but honestly, I've got just a library of songs I've started in my DAW. I use PreSonus Studio One, so there are just probably hundreds of files in there on stuff that I'm working on, and I'll just kind of like, okay, what's the theme of this next album? I start thinking about what is kind of the meaning behind this, like Apocalyptic Dreams. My first three albums were instrumental.
Yeah.
And that one was like, I wanted it to kind of be, I don't know. I was looking, I didn't want it to be 80s metal. I didn't want it to be really anything, but I guess if you had to label it, it's kind of like a Joe Satriani meets Metallica type thing, that's what other people have said. I always let the audience tell me what it is instead of me trying to tell you what it is. Cause they're looking at it in a different light. Sometimes we're too involved in our own process to really call it what it is. So like Masterpiece, people said that was like Megadeth meets Amon Amarth, because I had some vocals. That was my first vocal album. There's a little bit of death metal in that too. So, I don't really have a process, and just the ideas are just kind of coming every day. It seems like, I was practicing before a podcast, just making up riffs, and those just kind of come. And then later I start, now that I'm writing more songs with vocals, I start to think really deeply about what do I want the song to be about? What kind of impact do I want that song to have? And that's kind of, so I start running through themes in my head to start writing to that, if that makes sense.
So when you practice, do you mostly focus on I guess I would call it like improving riffs, or as opposed to practicing songs of like, you know, songs you grew up listening to. Do you find yourself doing that more? It seems like that's something that you focus more on. I don't know why I get that feeling.
Yeah,
I'm, you know, I'm like some people be like, oh, I want to learn a song today, you know, like Rat or Docking or something, and I'll just work on that solo. And then for you, I get that feeling like you just like start improvising certain riffs and solos, and like, oh, I like that idea. Is that what you tend
That's
to do?
All I do. That is all I do, man. I've never, even when I first started playing guitar, I had a friend that used to get frustrated with me. He's like, can you play the whole song? I'm like, no, I only like this part, so I play that part, you know? You know, and I believe it or not, man, I grew up playing in church as well. So, I mean, I was playing in front of people since I started playing guitar practically 15, 16 years old. And so, I, of course, I had to learn the songs, but I would always, in those groups, in the bands I was in over the years, they always, even if we're playing the covers, you know, because you're playing in church, it's, you know, the praise and worship music, that type of thing, contemporary and, you know, more of a rock style. But I was always granted that freedom to put my own twist to it. So I would never play the song like you would hear it on CD. I would always just put my own flavor to it. And, you know, we would make parts to have a guitar solo, even though the song guitar solo, well, my version did. So
that's the metal guitar.
I never really cared to learn someone else's song. It's like, I want to make my own rendition of it. Now I'll tell you this real quick. So part of what I do, you know, in this whole thing of music, playing music for a living, is I also play live solo acoustic gigs around town in the Tampa area. So I learned those songs, but it's just me and an acoustic guitar. So you can't play all of the accompanying instruments, obviously. Mm. So and a lot of them I transpose anyway, because I play 80s covers. So I don't have the range that a lot of the guys, and of course the girls, because I'm all over the map with the 80s rock and some of the pop stuff for my cover gigs. But I transpose those and I add my own twist to it. You know, it's not so far out there that you can't tell what the song is. Of course, I'm playing some really deep cuts from the 80s too. So, I always put my own twist to it though. And if I go to see a band, Mark, if I go to see a cover band, I don't care to hear every single note of that song. You know, and I don't care that they nail that. I'd rather hear their version of it. I think people can create some beautiful versions of songs when they're playing live, even if it's a cover song.
Hmm. That's a very interesting observation there. Now, you mentioned Metal Mastermind before. Are you still affiliated with them? And can you explain what Metal Mastermind is?
Oh, yeah, that's the core of my business. I operate under my own LLC, Uncle Jason Productions LLC. Just that's the, you know, the smart thing to do if you're doing anything for money, if you're getting paid. But I co-own Metal Mastermind. So that's an LLC as well, Metal Mastermind LLC. Ken and I started that. Ken Candelas, he's based out of New York. And we actually met in a marketing class. Leah McHenry, when she made her first 100K as really a no-name musician, she plays Celtic metal, but she learned how to market to a specific audience, how to find those people that would be super passionate about her style of music. And she did that. And then she just made a business out of it. So she started teaching like most of us do. You find success in something, and you want to help others attain that success. So she actually launched a marketing course called Savvy Musician Academy, and Ken and I were her first elite students, and we're first generation elite Savvy musician students. And him and I being metalheads, we started talking one day and like, hey, why don't we start a YouTube channel? We ended up calling it Metal Mastermind, and dude, for like a few months, we were just going live on YouTube with no audience, you know. I would tell my
even Joe Rogan did that, so you're not alone.
That's what we did, and as time progressed, we're just like, okay, let's do some actual videos, because I see the videos I'm doing on my channel. Managing multiple YouTube channels is not easy, I'll tell you that right now, but it's fun. So we started doing videos, and then I'm like, you know, I'm getting ready to release a guitar course. I've had a lot of people on my channel asked me if I had a course, and I'm like, I don't, you know, but that's something I started toying around with. So I was talking to Ken. I'm like, you know, why don't we make courses for Metal Mastermind? I'll create the course, but I'll put it on the Metal Mastermind platform. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's test this theory. Let's see if this actually works. And it did. So I created another course, and then we continue to create some courses together. We've got a songwriting course, and we allow other creators to certain other creators to create. We've got a bass metal bass course coming out from Rich Gray, the bassist for Annihilator. So that's going to be exciting. But yeah, just kind of snowballed into this really cool thing, and this is it's what we do now.
Oh, nice. And then, like you mentioned before, like you go out and your gigs are mostly acoustic. What made you decide to do acoustic gigs as opposed to, I don't know, using like an electric guitar? Or, is it just because it was easier to be a solo act with acoustic guitar, or?
Yeah, it's much easier. What happened was I was seeing a friend of mine's band play. They're called the Southern Creek Band. And they're a cover band. They sing like Southern rock and country and that sort of stuff. It's funny. It's not even really my style of music, but I go there to support, and I'm like, you know, I had not played live for a few years, and I'm like, I miss playing live. And my wife's, well, why don't you do these acoustic gigs? Cause I'm like, I don't know if I want to get in a band or start a band at this point. So she talked me into doing that, and that just like really took off. I didn't expect it to. Cause I'm like, well, at first I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to play cover songs. I want to play my own music. So I was like, how am I going to do this with no band? And she's like, she talked me into playing some covers. I'm like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to play the stuff I like. And acoustically, I love 80s. I can do that on acoustic and make it sound really cool. That's probably going to put me in a very tiny niche. Mm-hmm. But little did I know that it's been really great. I mean, I'm playing like 10 to 12 gigs a month now. So It's just been another journey.
That's interesting. Now for yourself, for your music and your YouTube channel, like what are your future goals or aspirations, or like for that, for your both your YouTube channel and your music, like what do you want to see accomplished for yourself?
I would like to put out an album at least every 2 years and be very consistent with that. I've got a really big project that I'm working on that I can't actually talk about it right now. So that's coming up in 2024. It's much bigger than just an album. So that's something that I'm going to start working on here real soon. I want to write another book. You know, I published my first book, Heavy Metal and Weights, back in 2017. And I love the arts. I just love it, you know. So I want to put more albums out, and really just I want to be a part of some other music projects as well. You know, one of the things that I told Ken when we started Metal Masterminds, like I love doing the solo stuff and being a solo artist and all that, but I also want to be a part of something that's bigger than me. And you know, Metal Mastermind gave us both that opportunity. But even musically, I'd love to perform on some other people's albums. You know, even if it's just small parts. And I have done that. I've, you know, Ken Candelas, he's got this project called Homeric. I recorded guitar tracks for that. That's going to be out early next year. It's like horror metal almost, man. It's you know, it's very creepy. And then his fiance, I recorded some stuff for her, you know, for her solo project. So, I wouldn't mind doing more stuff like that. As far as the channel goes, you know, I'm not really a numbers guy, but I'd love to reach the 100K mark this year. I'm at like 73,000 now, so just looking at the stats, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but things could change. You know, things can always change. Success isn't linear. That's something that I've learned, that all of a sudden something can just take off. The Metal Mastermind YouTube channel is not big by any means, but just all of a sudden we had a video that went to us, it went viral because it just shot straight up. And where we were getting like between 200 and 300 subs a month, or every 28 days, as the analytics says, now we're getting over 2,000. Like this literally just happened a couple of months ago. And Ken and I were like, what is this? So we were like, I think last month we were at 7,500 subscribers. We're going to hit 10,000 by the end of this month.
Wow.
So it just shot up out of nowhere. So that just, you know, that's kind of the evidence that success is not linear. If you just continue doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you know, you're giving value and you're putting the passion behind it and just keep doing it, at some point I believe you force the universe to kind of work in your favor.
Now do you Do you do like marketing for YouTube channels, like paid marketing, or you just do it organically? Or you
I'm doing occasional
social media posts or something?
Oh yeah, a lot of social media posts. I have donated thousands to Facebook advertising and YouTube advertising over the years. Right now, present, I'm not running any ads at all. I'm probably going to kick off an opt-in ad for the free guide, but I was running the data on that, and I'm like, well, okay, I was paying $300-$400 a month in ads, and I was making X amount. So I'm like, let me test not running any ads at all and see how this pans out. Like, and and it came out where the ads just didn't seem to really be helping me. So I think with advertising though, especially with paying for Facebook ads and that sort of thing, or any platform, I do think you kind of have to go big with that to get the big return. So you really got to take that chance. And I just,
I think it's like that for anything.
Even I think it is.
Small business, you gotta be willing to throw money and be willing to lose it. You know,
it's a gamble. It's a gamble at first. Yeah.
I definitely think that, because I've done some marketing for small businesses, and I don't know, and some projects that I've worked on, and I'm like, I think you just gotta you spend X and you hope you get X back, and you gotta expect you don't, and just pray that something happens, you know.
I like the organic route better. I mean, I look at the amount of email subscribers, because email marketing is still, that's still the number one marketing channel. I mean, that's, if you're advertising a product. So for Metal Mastermind, I look at the amount of email subscriptions that we're getting from people signing up, and I'm like, holy crap, we weren't getting this many when we were running ads, but now both channels are doing really well. I'll probably revisit that at some point, though, Mark, because to scale up, and we're getting to the more of the business side of things, I do want to scale up at some point. So to scale up, but I think I would rather work with someone that really knows the back ends of Facebook and YouTube advertising, because that's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I just don't like it. I'll create the content. I love creating the content, but when you get deep into the analytics and stuff like that, and I don't know, I'd rather work with someone that really knows the platforms like the back of their hand,
And I don't know if you dealt with Google Analytics. Some of it is very confusing the way it's laid out, and you try to understand it. It's very confusing, I find. Now you said you had a full-time job. How hard was it to transition from working for the man, so to speak, to being your own man? Like what made you pull the trigger on that? Because that's not an easy decision.
No, 2019, the beginning of 2019, I told my boss, I worked for a very large corporation, and I had, I wasn't an executive or anything like that, but I had a title of that had some prestige with it. And I'd been there for 14 years, but beginning of 2019, I'm like, if we do layoffs in our group, because companies are always doing layoffs and just shifting things around, please pick me. She's like, what? Because everybody's afraid of losing their job, and of course I could have gone to I could have gone to another department or whatever, but it didn't really have anything to do with the job. I met a lot of great people in the corporate world. Actually, I hung out with a close friend that I worked with yesterday, hanging out and having some beers at the pool, but the funny thing is, Mark, I wasn't even really making a lot of money from my music or my channel or anything at that time. I was probably making $300 to $500 a month, but I knew I'd get a small severance package. I liquidated everything. Man, to take the leap. And that held us over for about a year. And, just when that money was starting to run out, I was like, crap. I released my first guitar course around that time. And that month just blew me away. Now, of course, there have been a lot of ups and downs since then. Things sometimes you launch a product, you're like, whoa, it's out there. This is great. But then there's peaks and valleys, so you just learn along the way. But I'm like, I've got to put my back against the wall to make something happen. I'm tired. I can't, I don't know, I sound ungrateful because I had a great job, but I've got to make something happen. This is not how I want my life to go. I'm a musician, and this is what I want to do. And I've always wanted to work for myself, So I just made the leap. I just did it,
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You figure it out. You know what I mean? Like you will always figure out a way.
Yeah. Yeah, one guy told me some.
This is Seth Erickson, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Are you frustrated because you can't seem to play bar chords? Do you avoid songs that have bar chords in them? Well then, my Mastering Bar Chords course is the one for you. I will show you the techniques, the drills, riffs needed in order to master and conquer bar chords once and for all. Get my bar chord course today.
Marcus Sander was a normal family man till he was captured by the Nazis, imprisoned and tortured. His only means of survival was to become a vampire. Now his only fear is on how to keep his daughter safe, but not only from the Nazis, but from the creatures of the Dark World. Marcus the Vampire, the first book in the Dark World Chronicle series, now available at www.retortofamilybooks.com and on amazon.com. Get it now.
Hi, this is Coralyn Jewell. You're listening to the Mark the Shark podcast show.
All right, guys, we're back. We Zoom kicked this out, but we're back. Yeah, so we were talking about how you gave up working in the corporate world to pursue your career in music and so forth. Now, do you think YouTube helps you more as a musician to promote yourself?
You know, dude, I'll just jump out and say this. It's like the thing that has made most everything I'm doing possible, you know, because YouTube, you can give a call to action. Unlike social media, I mean, you can give it a call to action, but people watch the other platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. They're scrolling, right? They're watching those because they're bored. Well, they go to YouTube because they're looking on how to do something. I mean, dude, I fix my washing machine on YouTube, and I suck at fixing stuff. So anytime we want to know how to do something, learn how to do something, well, we go to YouTube. So it has really changed things. And the funny thing is my channel didn't really start growing until 2019. For 10 years, I'm sorry, from 2010 when I started to 2020, almost to the date, it took me that long to get 10,000 subscribers. Here we are now. What are we in 2023? I mean, just 3 years later, I'm at 73,000. So that's what happened? And remember we talked about Metal Mastermind, how that one video just took off all of a sudden. Well, I had the same thing happen on my channel before that happened. I had a video called Metal Guitar for Beginners, 6 Things You Must Know. And it, you know, like the quality of the video is not even all that great, to be honest with you, but it just goes to show you the content is what people want. But that took off in 2000. I released that in 2019. I published that then. And then, it just made the channel soar, man. My subscribers every year thereafter doubled. So I'm like, holy crap. So this is actually, something's actually finally happening because I'd been working so hard. But I didn't take YouTube as serious when I first started. I was just kind of like uploading videos. I didn't really even know what to expect. I just thought it was cool to do it and I enjoyed it, you know. I didn't really ever expect to make an income. Now, I don't live solely off YouTube income, obviously, because I always give a call to action. I'm like, hey, get my free practice guide. If you don't have that, if you've already got that, you know, then grab one of my courses, see which course is right for you. So that call to action on those videos has led to the sales. Most of the majority, this led to the majority, I'll step out and say 90% of the sales that I get from my guitar courses, you know.
So that's good. Yeah, it's always good. They always say to have multiple streams of income. So you got the YouTube, you got your courses, and on both your channel and Metal Mastermind. I think you have courses on your website as well, right? Not just the Metal Mastermind.
I put all my courses on the Metal Mastermind platform. I mean, but I link to that website. I link to that.
To their site.
Just link to that one. We just kind of replicated what had worked for me, for my channel and for the website and all that over to Metal Mastermind, which I love working with Ken. He's a lot younger than I am, but he's got that young mind, man. He can just crank stuff out really quick where it might take me days. He can crank it out like in 2 hours or whatever. When it comes to some of the back end stuff. So he's really good at that. He's great at that. So we complement one another in the skill sets. But yeah, I just, you mentioned several streams of income. You must have that. I'm a firm believer in that. I'll never rely on just one source, you know, because you never know when something could happen. And, you know, I mean, what if my YouTube channel just went down for where? What if YouTube went away? I don't think that's ever going to happen. But there's always those what ifs, though. And so I want to be prepared. And that's why I do other things as well. I blog. Blogging has been a big part of my life and big part of my life.
Oh, I didn't know you blogged. You blog for other people or you blog to promote your stuff? Or?
Just for me to promote my stuff. So like jasonstallworth.com, my website, I probably have like 40 or 50 blog posts on there. We've got probably the same in Metal Mastermind. But I had a fitness, well, I still have the fitness site called themuscleprogram.com. And over this course of time, and there's a very valuable lesson coming up here. While I was working the corporate job, I was also pursuing music, YouTube, and blogging for themuscleprogram.com. That site, it just never took off. It just never took off like I wanted it to. But I put so much time into that. And looking back, I should have been putting all that time into my music instead, you know, maybe have a blog or two here or there. But I was just determined that this is going to be my full-time income, this blog, the muscle program, and then music would just be like the icing on the cake. Oh, it turned out to be the opposite. So I've got over 200 blog posts on that site, though. So it's...
You don't happen that you have a muscle channel too, a muscle and fitness channel or no?
Program's got a YouTube as well. I haven't put it. The value I learned was that if you chase two rabbits, you won't catch any. Mm. And while I was working the corporate job, which was very demanding at times, and I'm sitting here chasing two rabbits, you know, and even with music, it's kind of multiple rabbits, even though everything's kind of housed under music. Well, I've got YouTube, right? I've got the courses, I've got the marketing to have to do, right? The social media engagement. I'm playing live shows. I still blog. Another stream of income is from affiliate marketing. You can be an Amazon associate. I'm also an affiliate for Sweetwater now. So
yeah,
there are so many things. And honestly, my programs, and I've got some eBooks that I created for the muscle program. I still make a few sales. That site makes me like $300 or $400 a month. I don't touch it. It collects
emails. That's not bad, bro. Cause I've written books before and are they downloading it off your website? Cause I know you had one on Amazon, but like Amazon doesn't pay that much, you know? If you sell an ebook off your website, you'll make more.
You should always value that a little bit higher when you sell it on your own platform, you know. So I have four different programs. I sell them. I think the main programs are like $24.95, which is not a lot of money, you know, and another two programs are 19, something like that. But I've got like a lean muscle program, a mass building. I've got a nutrition guide, and then I've got the at home. I wrote that home, the at home dumbbell program during COVID. And so I'm like, let's put this out there, you know, so and I get paid off of the ad revenue as well for the site. And it's a beautiful thing about content like YouTube and blog posts. You can always get a side income from the ad revenue coming in.
Oh, so, what do you use, like from AdMob or something through Google? What do you use, like the Blogger or something from Google Blogger?
No, I actually use a company called Easeweek.
Okay.
And they just place the ads on there. They handle all that. You know, you can tell them where you want the ads. You can go into the program or whatever. But I'm like, just set it and forget it. I'm one of those people. I don't want to keep digging into it. So it's just, you know, it collects, like I said, $300, sometimes $400 a month for that site.
I gotta shoot you an email on that one because I never heard of that.
Yeah. All I do is send an email to my subscribers. I call it Flex Friday. I send an email just with some kind of tip.
And they put like links in your email or whatever.
Yeah, I've got links to my programs, and then affiliate marketing is another good way, because I've got some supplements that I do affiliate ads for, or affiliate promoting for on the site as well. So there's the ad revenue that comes in from the muscle program, the ebook sales, and then there's the affiliate revenue that comes in. So it's but it doesn't, you know, and that's three sources that make up that $300 to $400 a month. So it's like, I want this site to get big so I can, you know, we can pay our bills off that. And but I'm not griping about the music being that, because I'm actually I'm glad and I can say I'm a true full-time musician. You know, this is all I do.
Now, how do you distribute your music? You use Discro or CD Baby or what's
CD Baby?
CD Baby.
Yeah.
Now, what made you choose that one over like Bandcamp or Discro, whatever the other one's called?
Yeah, there's DistroKid, there's Bandcamp, there's several out there. I honestly don't remember. I really don't remember what it was. You know, I learned about all this early on, you know, and I'm kind of one of those people, like, once I get something and I like it, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing, I just kind of stuck with it. You know, I've had people tell me, well, this platform's better, but I've got everything on there. And really, it doesn't matter, because, I mean, I don't sell albums through them. Like, I don't send people to CD Baby to my profile or anything. They just see my stuff on Spotify and iTunes and all those places. And I've got CDs on the JasonStallworth.com site, because I have a shop set up there. So I sell CDs and just ship it out of here. I've got some merch and all that good stuff that I use print on demand for. So there's another small stream of income too. So
what was the last one you said?
Just the merch. The merch for I've got stuff like that.
There's,
you know,
I can't remember the name. I'm kind of revealing a little bit about myself. Like I was a real estate investor. Didn't work out that well, but it was this guy. I can't remember the guy's name. He wrote like a couple of books on buying real estate with no money down, but he had this one real interesting book which is what you're pretty much following. You probably never read. I think it's his name is Robert Allen. His name of his book was called, I actually met the guy once, Multiple Streams of Income. And it was exactly what you're doing, except he was saying, you know, you got real estate, you do stocks, you do this, you do that. And you're doing that. Yeah. I've done some affiliate marketing, but some of them, like, they got that threshold and I never hit that threshold or whatever and stuff like that. Cause I still work a full-time job, so I don't have like the time to put all my energies towards one thing. So, but that's interesting. I always find it interesting when people actually take the leap, like yourself, and they're able to pull it off. So that's interesting. That's good.
You know, Mark, I didn't want to be 80 years old or 90 years old or whatever and look back on my life and have that just that gut-wrenching feeling, like, why didn't I take the chance? Why didn't I risk it? You know? And, you know, there's a handful of entrepreneurs I watch, like Gary Vaynerchuk. I like him. He talks about that. He's like, if you want to find a room full of regret, go to a nursing home and you'll hear nothing but regrets. And people wish they had taken those chances, taken those risks to live, you know, and they didn't. And now it's too late.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want that. I knew I could do it. I wasn't sure how.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But you have to take a chance. I mean, I tried it with the real estate. I did it for probably like 8 or 10 years. I had like a few properties, and certain aspects of it just like got to me, you know. And then I got other friends that started some businesses, and you know, one opened up a restaurant. I forget what the other one had, like green tea. He made his own green tea.
Oh, and cool, man.
Protein shakes and stuff. You know, he made money, but you know, at the end of the day, it was too stressful for him. So I guess you gotta pick your battles, you know.
You learned a lot though in your experience, though. So
learned a lot.
You know, if you take those things that you learned, and then of course where things went wrong and assess that, and apply that to something else, you know, then you're already ahead, because you've already taken the leap. You've done it. Things didn't work out like you wanted, but you can take those lessons and things you know now into something else and launch whatever you want, you know?
Yeah. And I noticed you've been doing a lot of motivational speeches lately too. Have you thought about becoming a motivational speaker? I didn't know if that was something else you were planning to do.
No, I'm actually going to be given, as soon as the album's released, I'm going to be doing a guitar clinic in Tampa at Replay Guitar Exchange. And of course, dude, that's just something that naturally comes out. I want to encourage people to not necessarily jump out, you know, quit your job and play guitar, because you might find yourself broke if you do that, but you can. I mean, I don't want to discourage it, but I think a lot of people like the end result, but maybe don't like the journey and the uncertainty of getting there. So I don't think that part's verified, but as far as encouraging people in a musical sense, you know, to create their own and be like, I always tell people to be your own guitar player. You know, don't worry about sounding like someone. Everybody's like, how do you get that tone to sound like this person? Who cares? Why dial in a tone that you like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do want to encourage and inspire folks just to live their fullest. I believe that if people are living their fullest and they're truly happy with themselves, they're happy with their life, the world's a better place, man. You're not gonna have people doing bad things if they're happy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's just something that kind of naturally, I've never really thought about of myself as a motivational speaker. You know, I follow CJ. He was on our Metal Mastermind podcast a while back. CJ Ortiz, the metal motivator. He's great. You know, that's what he does. He does marketing and that now. But no, if someone asked me to come speak somewhere, I'd be more than happy to do that, of course, because I enjoy that. I enjoy just like you and I are talking right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see myself, chatting with the audience. That's how I try to do my videos. Like, hey, we're all in this room together, you know, and just kind of jamming and chilling out. And I want to encourage folks, man. I just want to encourage people to be the best version of themselves, you know?
Yeah. I got one more question for you, and I'll let you go. With your albums that you have released, I don't know if you've done it or you thought about doing it. Have you ever done a show or two or a little tour to promote your albums? Because I know some of them are instrumental. I think the last one had, you know, lyrics to it. Have you done any tours or shows to promote the album, or is that something you're thinking of doing in the future with your current album? Because I know you do, you know, acoustic solos, but have you thought about doing shows or, I don't know, making music videos, I mean, to promote it? Or
So all of the above, and there's kind of a two part to that. So I did some shows with Masterpiece. They weren't really professional shows. I played at the Orpheum in Ybor City, which that place moved. And I played at another small place, which isn't open anymore. I wasn't the one that closed down. Like, Jason, man, you suck. We're closing this. I'm kidding. But no, anyway, so I played those shows to backing tracks, though, which I'm not a big fan of. Like, my solo shows, I do not play to backing tracks. I will I'll loop a rhythm. Like, on acoustic, I use a looper, and sometimes I'll grab the electric and solo over it or play acoustic leads. But I just felt a little funny playing to my own backing tracks. I did it anyway. I mean, people enjoyed it. I think they did. I never heard any negative feedback from it. So, but I did a couple shows like that. With this new album, and I'm not against, like, if you're a solo musician, I'm not against playing backing tracks. Like, you're playing your own music, so you've got your rhythm, and you're just going to solo over that live. That's perfectly fine. That's, you know, because I would definitely do that again. But it was kind of weird singing and playing, you know, I don't know, just didn't, you know, it's much better with a band if you're going to play music that's intended for a band.
Yeah.
Instrumental's a little bit different, but I am going to work with some musicians here in Tampa. I'm hoping to get Ed Eborn from Siren. He's the drummer for Siren. Get a bass player and maybe another guitarist. I'm probably going to lose money on this, but you always collect on the back end. You know, you get this for the promotion, play a couple shows like that, and hope to gain some more fans that way. So
yeah, maybe you can form your own Jason Stallworth band.
Thought of that.
Stallworth, no, experience.
I've got another strategy, man. So this album that I'm working and I'm almost done with, I can actually play all these songs. I can play an acoustic version of them. And I'm thinking about there's seven vocal songs and three instrumentals on the album. So I'm thinking about coming out with an EP of an acoustic version of some of these songs, and I can go play those at my live solo gigs too. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do you ever hand out your, I don't know if you have your music on CDs. I'm assuming you do. Does that. Do you hand them out at your shows at all that you do?
You know, it's real stupid that I haven't, but I haven't, and it's something I need to do.
When you do it acoustically, you could do that. That would probably work real well.
Oh, it worked out really good. Well, you'd be surprised, like, because I play 80s, right? So I'll get into some of the hair bands, and then I do a cover of Wasted Years by Iron Maiden. And I'll loop the acoustic rhythm that I'm playing. Of course, I play that in a completely different key, transposed, because I don't have Bruce Dickinson's voice. And I'll pick up the electric and solo over it. So I'm so surprised on the attention that gets at some of the shows. So yeah, I think those people really would buy, you know, my albums. I mean, I'm sure they would. The only album I've got on CD was Masterpiece, and I've got that. Actually, I got a still pile of them right here, but I wish I could send this to you virtually, man. But I've got that on CD. But there's some that's more. I don't want to say it's a death metal album, but I do have the death metal vocals on there, and that was sort of an experimental thing with me. I'm not ashamed of the album by any means. I like it. I'm proud of it. But I was just kind of, I guess, reluctant to take that, you know, to the shows. And I really shouldn't be, to be honest. I'm glad you brought this up. I really shouldn't be. I mean, it's my music, you know. If people like it, they like it. Great. If they don't, that's fine too. I always say at my shows, and by the way, guys, if you like heavy metal, Google my name. I pop up. If you don't like heavy metal, don't bother. So I'll put it out there. So, and I've gained followers that way too. So I should set up. I'm kind of stupid for not doing this, Mark. I should set up like a little display booth or something, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, great, man. Well, it was great having you on the show. Everybody who's watching this video or listening to it on my podcast, on Spotify and iTunes or whatever, I'll have links to Jason's website, his YouTube channel, and a quick plug. Check the description of the video for my stuff. I got my own instructional course and a link to the books that me and my daughter have written, some fictional books, including The Kabbalah Saga Begins, Marcus the Vampire, my daughter's Invisible Girl series. Check it out. And it was great having you on the show, Jason. Continue to do the good work. I find your channel quite motivating. I always, like, when I do my own practice, I tend to try to learn other people's songs. And then I'm like, more into improvising solos, but lately I've been getting more into riffs from watching your channel. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
It's awesome, man.
You know? So who knows? Maybe I'll have my own instrumental album or single coming out soon. I don't know. We'll see.
I would encourage you to work on it, man. Dude, start working on it, man. So
yeah,
I appreciate you having me on the. Thank you so much for having me on the channel here, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. I look forward to your next video and your album. When your album comes up, hit me up, man. I'll have you back on. We'll just talk about that as well.
Definitely.
All right, guys. Take care. And again, this is the Mark the Shark podcast, as well as the Rocking with Mark YouTube channel. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate it. And follow my podcast on Spotify and iTunes. I appreciate it. Take care, Jason.
Thanks, man. You too.
Bye.
Are you looking for your next action thriller novel? Check out The Kabbalah. The Saga Begins. You can find it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com or www.RitortoFamilyBooks.com. That's RITORTO FamilyBooks.com. Again, check out the next great action thriller suspense mood book called The Kabbalah. The Saga Begins. This is to all you parents out there. Are you looking for a great book for your child to read? Well, look no further. Christina Ritordo has done it again by putting out a sequel to her first book in the Invisible Girl series. The sequel is called A Little Bit Louder. Get it now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or RitordoFamilyBooks.com. Again, the book is called A Little Bit Louder, written by Christina Ritordo.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah Driggs, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Mark the Shark. I want everybody to know that not only do I have this podcast, I have another podcast about the sport of mixed martial arts. So if you're into that kind of thing, check out my other podcast called The Mark the Shark MMA Show. And if you want to be on that show or this show, make sure you contact me on Facebook at Mark the Shark MMA Show. And that's my Facebook channel. Or you can go to my website, www.markwithac.com. Again, it's www.markthesharkmmashow.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at mark_ritordo2. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, underscore Ritordo, R-I-T-O-R-T-O, 2. That's for Instagram, or Mark BJJ Fighter on Twitter. And also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channels. I got the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. That's Rockin' with Mark with a C again. Or the Mark the Shark MMA Show, all on YouTube. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast and keep on listening. Hi, everyone. Well, unfortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, the Mark the Shark Show, and keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.